This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athletic-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
All right. What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. In this episode, we're going to have my buddy Jesse Fortner come on the podcast and really just kind of cover the whole season. You know, tell us who he is, and really just kind of talk about anything. Don't really have anything planned. You know, we like to shoot from the hip here. So, excuse me, just ate dinner. Still hitting me. Got some stuff to talk to you guys about with the partners. Very excited about all of this. So let's just dive into it. So the podcast is brought to you by Sportsman's Empire. That is a new platform or new network that we are under. You can go to Apple or Spotify and you can listen to not only this podcast, but a bunch of others. So please go support Dan and all the boys over there at the Sportsman's Empire. Very thankful to be part of that family. Next up is going to be Osseo Gear. Dude, Osseo camo is the best camo I've ever used. So if you guys are looking at using some camo this coming season, granted, it's quite a few months away, but it's never too early to get your stuff and upgrade it. Use the code. And there's going to be codes down below in the description. There's going to be links to all of the partners' websites and everything. So please go make sure to support all of them. Let's see. Next up, Boutique. Working on some custom wraps from the Boutique. Mike and I have talked a little bit. Dude is dropping new stuff every month and he's absolutely killing it. It's the best wraps in the game by far. Next up is G5 Outdoors. Now this one, I've got some really awesome news for you guys. There's a new broadhead that G5 just came out with. They dropped it at NWTF and it is called the Dirty Bird. It is a turkey head. It's a decapitating head that if any of you guys ever played Halo or have even seen Halo, it looks exactly, and I love it for this reason because I'm a huge fan of Halo, but it looks exactly like the energy sword that is in the game. It's a decapitating broadhead, so it's the type, you know, that's got the blades completely deployed, but the cool thing about it is it's a 3-blade, and it folds up. So when you put it into the quiver, you can fold it up. That way you don't have to worry about you know, super large blades or anything sticking out. They'll fit inside the quiver. So if you're going to hunt turkeys with a bow like I plan to this spring, definitely give that broadhead a shot. I know I'm going to. And honestly, I just want them because they look cool. Even if I don't use them, they still look super sick. But G5 is partnering with Crispy on this broadhead. It's something that's been in the works for a long time. Brian told me they've been throwing the word or the name Dirty Bird around for years, and they finally found something to use. So I'm super stoked to put this broadhead in my quiver this coming spring. And I really hope that you guys give it a shot. It honestly is one of the coolest looking broadheads I've ever seen. So keep on the lookout for that. Next up is Prime Archery. I am going to be shooting the Prime Divide 31 this year. Just waiting for it to ship out. I'm going to have it in full Osseo pattern, both on the riser and the limbs. And, dude, I'm super excited about that. I cannot wait to get that bow in. I'm getting a 7-inch brace height. I know it's going to be a little bit slower, but, I want something that's going to be extremely comfortable and extremely forgiving when I'm in the woods. I mean, I do shoot my bow quite a bit. And you know, I go to TAC and we have shoots at the local range and stuff like that, but I don't need something that's going to be screaming fast. It just isn't, I don't know. To me, it's not a necessity. So, very excited to be getting that bow. Once I get that bow, I'll be putting videos out of it. I'll be talking about it more. So yeah, if you guys are looking to, you know, upgrade your bow this year, head over to Prime Archery. They have you covered from 31-inch ATA, 6 or 7-inch brace height, all the way up to 37. And I mean, that's for those big dudes or for the guys that like a target setup. I mean, it's honestly the do everything you need kind of bow. You can have a short axle to axle like what I'm getting because of how I'm changing up how I hunt. I don't want to have a super long axle to axle bow. I'm not going to need it. Or if you're one of those guys that just loves stability or you want to also hit the target range, you can get the 35 or the 37 and it'll act as both a target bow and a hunting bow. So Prime's taking care of everybody. They're trying to make sure all bases are covered. And just remember, guys, nothing aims like a Prime. Let's see. Next up, Dialed Archery. So my new proof should be here Friday. So by the time you guys are listening to this, I would have already had it. I'm not going to post a picture of it yet. I'm waiting on a couple of other things to sort of get solidified before I do it. All I'm going to say is it's sick. It's a awesome small batch that they came out with a while ago that I'm a huge fan of what it is. But Dialed Archery knocks it out of the park, man. They've got the new Mac 3VA, which is an adjustable vertical pin, scope housing. The proof is by far the best sight that I've ever used. So if you guys are wanting to, you know, upgrade your stuff for TAC, use some of these partners, go to some of their websites, go check them out. We have partners that cover the entire build aside from like a release. Okay. So super, super excited for the new setup this year. I cannot wait to use it. I can't wait till everything gets in here. Please go check out Dialed Archery. And look, man, you will not be disappointed, I promise. Let's see. Next up, Moultrie. Told you guys before, Moultrie's got the Edge 3, the Edge 3 Pro, and then the Edge Solar. I still haven't gotten any of those because we're still very early on in the off season. I don't even know if deer are dropping antlers yet. But my Moultrie's been working great. They survived the cold weather. And yeah, I'm super, super, super thankful to be working with those guys with a camera company that stuff actually works. And, yeah, man, I love it. So look, it's never too late or never too early to go get cameras out. So head over to Moultrie, check out what they have, see what they can do for you. Next up is Bow Hunting League. If you guys want to become a state sponsor for Georgia or really any state that you live in, head over to Bow Hunting League, go sign up. It's only $100 a month, or I'm sorry, $100 a year. And, you know, if you become a state sponsor, you get a ton of perks. I got an email the other day that our shirts, all of us that killed a buck this past season, where you get a free shirt with the Bow Hunting League if you do that. And, they're going to be shipping out, I think, sometime in March. So it's awesome, man. It's a great group of guys, great company to be working with. You can do it too. It's super simple. And if you do end up doing the state sponsor thing, tell them that we sent you. Let's see. Next up is Boning Archery, running the Alpha Veins. Scrape Doctor, going to be getting scrapes out in the next couple of months. Victory Archery, I'm running the HLRs, which is an arrow that came out, I think, a year ago. Yeah, about a year ago. And it's basically the Rip TKO, just a tighter carbon weave. So they were able to make it where a 300 spine, which is what I shoot, can actually have a less, like a lower GPI. So you can add more weight up to the front, get more FOC, and get more speed out of that arrow, but it's still just as strong as the Rip TKO. So Victory also has like the VLR. There's a few other new models that have come out, or new, I guess, types of arrows that they've come out with, but they're covering everything. And I personally don't ever plan on switching from Victory at all. So that, yeah, man, Victory just knocks it out of the park every time. And last but not least, Catalyst Archery, which was our guest last week. Please go support Brian. He makes some really, really good stuff. Some of the best quality stabilizers that I've seen, and at such an affordable price, why wouldn't you, you know? So, yeah, that's all the partners, man. Very thankful to be working with these guys. Looking forward to the new setups that's going to be coming this year. Looking forward to the new turkey head from G5 called the Dirty Bird. New wraps from the boutique. Osseo's always there. I always try to keep them at the forefront. Yeah, man, just a lot of awesome stuff. So before we get started, for those of you that don't live under a rock, you know there's been a lot of stuff coming out lately about how messed up the world is. And I just want to tell you that there is hope in Jesus Christ. If you guys haven't, you know, even thought about giving your life to Christ or even figuring out who Jesus really is, I really, really think that you should take a minute and think about it. Think about the fact that, you know, it's not like we're going to live forever, right? And in my opinion, I would rather, that's not the right way to put it. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you have the option of going through life and not knowing, not really having any hope in what comes after this, I mean, that's up to you. But to me, the change in my life that I've seen after I gave my life to Christ and after I really started chasing a relationship with him and growing that relationship, my life's completely changed. And the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Still struggle with some stuff here and there. You know, I'm not perfect. None of us are. I say it all the time that I'm still one of the worst of them when it comes to being a sinner. But because of what Jesus did, we can be called righteous in his eyes. And, you know, I mean, the whole message of the gospel, a lot of people want to nitpick things and this and that. But the whole message of the gospel, the core of it is that, you know, Jesus was the Son of God and he came down, you know, God made in flesh or God in the flesh. And, you know, because of humankind's shortcomings, he had to come down and take on the sin of the world, both past, present, future. And, you know, he performed all the miracles that are in the book. And he then was killed because people heard the truth and they didn't like it. And he knew that was going to happen. And he still did it. He still came while we were sinners. Which that type of love is just astonishing to me. And so the way the whole gospel is that Jesus was the Son of God, came down, healed a bunch of people, died on the cross, and then rose again 3 days later, completely saving us from sin for those who believe in him. And what I mean by believe is have your faith in him, trust in him. When he says, I will never forsake you, trust that. When he says that if you follow these words, if you believe in me, if you trust me, then when your time on earth is over, you're going to be with me in paradise. And that is the point of it. That's what, like, all he wants is a relationship with us. A lot of places have traditions. A lot of, you know, churches and stuff have these things they like to do, and that's perfectly fine. But at the core of it, the relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. And that in turn causes us to have relationships with people in the church and go out and try to help people. It's a life-changing thing. So I'm not going to ramble on it too much, but for those of you still listening to this, and a lot of people skip these intros, I hope that none of you do, so you can hear these words I'm saying, because, you know, Jesus is alive and he is working. I've seen it myself. And even though all this evil is going on, if you look at it like this, the stuff that came out most recently proves there's evil in the world, proves the devil is real. So if it proves the devil is real and there's evil in the world, don't you think that the other side is so much better? And so much, like, if all of this evil stuff's happening, well, then clearly that's evidence and proof that God is there. God is real. And I've heard stories from people that went through all these things that they were saying Jesus was sitting next to them through all of it. Why this stuff is allowed to happen, I have no idea. But I tell my wife and my daughter this all the time. Even when something bad happens, there's always something that good that comes out of it that God uses to create something good. So, yeah, preacher moment. That's it. Jesse's waiting on us. Let's get started with Jesse Fortner.
Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast. Guys, this is take two, because we did a whole episode last night. We got Mr. Jesse Fortner on the podcast. I'm sure you heard the intro. And for those of you that know me personally, that I have been sort of not complaining, but the old, or not the old, I really shouldn't say that. The new recording platform that I was using, I don't think I'm going to use it anymore, because it just gives me problems. We've had audio issues ever since I switched. And we went through and did the entire episode last night, even talked for like 20 minutes afterwards. And then I don't know what happened. Jesse's audio just never came through. It had nothing to do with his end. I don't know what happened. So we're doing it again. And dude, last night's episode was honestly very good. So I want to sort of run the same sort of beginning, if we can. Let everybody know who you are, and then we can just dive into it. I got very fired up on some stuff last night. I'm sure it's going to happen again.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, but why don't you go ahead and tell everybody who you are, and I guess how you got into hunting.
My name is Jesse Fortner. I'm nobody special. I just have a passion for the outdoors. It is something that is ingrained into my body. I think about it, I sleep on it, I dream about it, I eat it, read it, see it, going down the road, constantly looking for them, deer, turkeys, anything and everything. I started when I was six. My grandparents, grandpa, papa took me, and I think it's more of addiction than drugs, and I can say that. It's an addiction that I didn't know existed. I tell you that much.
Yeah. It's so bad, dude. And I said this last night too, but it's so bad that it even can push us to, or it pushed me at least to, potentially almost lose the wife. So people that know the podcast, they know the story. I make jokes about it now, but yeah, man, I mean it. And you know what's funny is, like, so you're in Alabama, I'm in Georgia. We yep. have very similar but completely different hunting setups. And we, yep. I really want to kind of focus some on, you know, because you've hunted Illinois, you've hunted it.
I've hunted Illinois, Missouri, West Virginia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia.
Okay, so you've been around, and I just want to clarify something for people that are listening, and for people who, you know, definitely listen in the South. Are our deer harder to kill than up north?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Here's the thing. I've not been out west. You know, Missouri and Illinois is, you know, I guess you consider it Midwest. They're so much easier. It's so much easier.
It's one of those deals, and people know I make the joke about, like, our deer in the South being, you know, psychic and stuff. And I mean, I've probably made the joke a million times about they know I'm coming before I do, right? Yep. Like, before I know I'm even going to go hunt, they already know and they're gone. And I don't want it to sound like I think that it's harder down here than it is up there. I mean, I just think our deer are more aware. And one thing we did touch on last night, I want to bring up is, like, what the difference could be, you know, because down here, you know, we get to bait, and our seasons are very long. And
I don't even bait.
But so, is it legal to bait in Alabama?
Yeah, it's legal.
Okay, so people are doing it.
Yep. Oh, 100%.
I'm sure your neighbors are doing it.
Absolutely. Like,
so these deer are aware of a human presence in the woods.
Yep.
And I think, it's a theory, but I think that's what the difference is. I think that up in the Midwest and stuff, where you really, you know, like Illinois, Wisconsin.
Hear me out on this. So when I went to Illinois this past year, a lot of it was ag field, right? Mm-hmm. Soybean, corn. It was half, like, there was one field that I hunted that it was clover, mm-hmm. and it was ankle high. Like, it was like, and I'm talking about just thick clover. And then it had corn right next to it. Like, it's almost like a
standing
paradise.
Corn?
Yeah, standing corn.
Okay.
And it was, it's almost a paradise for deer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It had a creek that run through the side of it. You know, it's awesome. I mean, really, I mean, it was such good hunting on public land at that.
Yeah. It well, and the weird thing is, so you've hunted South Alabama too. Is there like, or how can I put this? Is it similar to being out in the Midwest?
All right. So that was one thing that I did recognize, like this year going to Illinois, like where we hunted this time, it was flat like South Alabama, right? Yeah. And South Alabama is flat. So you have to use, as our buddies, we call it something different, right? So when everything's flat, everything's the same. So then you have to find that little 8-foot rise or 10-foot rise in terrain or pinch points. You have to be, you know, you those drainage ditches, you have to use them. They may not be 20 feet wide, but I promise you deer are going through them.
Yeah.
With that mentality, something different.
Okay. Because, okay. I mean, being from Illinois, I've never hunted it, right? So all I really? Know is, yeah, I mean.
Dude, what are you doing? Bro,
trying to get good here before I go up there.
Let me explain something to you. And I said this about turkeys too. Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia turkeys. I don't care who, if you can kill a turkey in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, you can kill a turkey anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world.
A few times.
It there is them Easterns, buddy. They're well educated and smart.
Well, this is gonna be my first year actually turkey hunting. So we'll see how it goes. I always make the joke, and I'm sure you've heard me say it on the podcast, but like, I feel like I have a gift for finding turkeys because when I go out to scout in the spring or look for sheds, I always come across them and I don't even mean to. I just, whenever I go to public land, I literally find all the turkeys and I'm just like,
you better be dropping pins.
Oh, dude, trust me, I've got them. But it's just funny because like I got buddies that turkey hunt and they're like, oh man, these birds, you know, they're hard to. I'm like, dude, I don't know what you're doing, but all I got to do is step in the woods and I see like 5-6 of them. And
well, that's why I had. Go ahead.
Well, I had a turkey up in north-ish Georgia. It's about an hour north of Atlanta. I went to a job, and dude, I found like 6 turkeys. Just one of them was a tom that was like the size of a velociraptor, literally the biggest thing I've ever seen as far as turkeys go, just chilling in the parking lot of this abandoned warehouse. And then I looked down in this little swampy area, and there's 4 other toms just walking through, or they could have been jakes. I'm not 100% sure, but they were just there. And so I'm not good at calling turkeys, but you know, I did the whole kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they just looked at me and they were like, no, and just kept on going. And I watched them go up the ridge, and it's just, I see more turkeys than I see deer. So I don't know if that's God being like, hey, listen, I know you like deer, but you should chase these instead, at least in the springtime. And speaking of turkeys,
I'm the opposite. Like I find deer everywhere I go. I mean, I don't care. Even during deer season, I find turkeys. Yeah. And so it's, you'll have to go back to, I think it's on TikTok. I run into like a group of 20, man, they put on a show for me. I posted it. It's pretty awesome.
It's crazy. I think this year is a little different for me because G5 today on the 12th recording this just dropped the Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, dude, go on Instagram, go on Facebook, all that stuff. I just literally shared it 20 minutes ago and it is did you ever play Halo as a kid?
A little bit.
Okay. So, you know, the energy
sword? I was in that age group. Where I didn't get a PlayStation until I was 16 years old or 14 years old. You know what I mean? So I grew up without video games up until my mid-teens.
So when you played Halo, do you remember the energy sword?
Vaguely.
Okay. This thing looks just like that when it's closed up. I actually, you know what? I have a picture. I'll show it to you. It is, it's gnarly, dude. I mean,
have you seen that Make 'em Gobble by Bo? What? Make 'em Gobble Call by Bo?
Mm-mm. Talking about Bo Brooks?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
You'll have to go check it out, dude. Dude, it's $150, and I'm
on.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
But it's all in one though. It's a gobble. It's a yelp. It's a crow call. In one.
All right. So this is what it looks like closed up. I don't know if you can see it or not. If it's,
I don't know. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture where you can go on there. Cause it, dude, so Chris B and G5 actually got together and have been working on this for years. And it's a 3-blade decap head that I think they stay closed with a magnet, kind of like what some of the newer broadhead companies have been doing. And it's just sick. Like, I wish they'd come out with something like that for deer. It wouldn't work for deer. Like, you can look at it, you can tell. But
yeah,
dude, it's so cool. It's like the only reason I even want to go turkey hunting this year is so I can use that.
Like, with a bow?
I told Brian that too. He called me. We were talking about the new bow that I'm getting, and we were kind of going over the specs and all that stuff, working out the 26 deal. And I asked him, I was like, hey, is that new broadhead going to drop? Because it was supposed to drop. I was told it was going to drop in December. And then he said it was going to drop this weekend. And I was like, dude, I can't wait. Because he explained it to me, but I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
And so he finally sent me a photo, and I flipped out. I was like, that is the coolest looking head that I've ever seen. I was like, I don't turkey hunt. I'm not a turkey hunter. But now I want to go because of this. So it was sick.
I can't even imagine with a bow. That's hard enough with a gun. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, we talked about it yesterday. I love the challenge. And that's why bow hunting is so addictive.
Oh, I agree.
So changing gears just a little bit, because this probably won't be as structured as last night's was, because now I know you better. We talked about a lot of stuff. Yeah. Can you give us a good explanation of how important your faith is, not only in the woods, but just sort of like when we're going through a rough season, or really what your faith means to you whenever we're out in the woods and we're just dealing with everyday life stuff? That'll get you through it to still just kind of not give up.
So like, Romans 8, I think it's 8:18 is by far James, 1:19 and Romans 8:18, where you may not know now what you're going through. I'm messing it up for you. May not know now.
I'm looking it up right now.
Romans 8:18.
Romans 8:18. All right. I think I know which one. Where is it? 12, 18. Okay. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Yes.
Love it.
And James 1:19, I think it's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, right? And so I try to keep those two close to here, because I don't, it says in the Bible, God has got, he's going to work everything out for the good for you, for his children. Right? For his child. So you have to keep that mentality, is you've already made it. You know, like I told you last night, you know, you've already survived 100% of your worst days. You're batting 1,000. Why would you start doubting him?
Yep.
Why would you start doubting God?
Well, you know, it's a funny, I know the question's rhetorical, but I can give an answer to it. It's because we get in our heads.
Oh, 100%.
We let that little horned, pardon my French, that little horned bastard get in our ears. And, you know, we start doubting everything that we, even though we know what's true, we still end up doubting it. I mean, yep. this past season, you know, I told you about it, last night. I had 8 different bucks on camera, was very, very confident that I was going to get to shoot one. I didn't see a single one. They all disappeared for over a month. And so I got humbled very, very hard. And like, that was the beginning of me changing my mind from I need to kill a big buck to I just want the good experience, you know? Yeah. And I mean, people know that spike behind me, I told you about, dude, I got more excited about him than I did the buck over here by the bows. And well, so it's like
I told you, like, as many states that are banning trail cameras, like, you know, I called my uncle after I got off with you. I want to say, man, I was 18 before I even had access to a trail camera.
Yeah.
I was taught the woodsman's way for 10, 12 years before I even got to having trail cameras. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like I told you, I've about 99% stopped using them just because it's going to happen. They're going to ban them.
Yeah.
I don't know when, it may be 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years, but that woodsmanship is more important in my personal opinion. You know,
yeah. I mean, it is like, I am curious why you think they're going to ban them everywhere. I really would be surprised if they did that in the South. I can see it out West. I can see it maybe in the Midwest. But well,
I think there's already 10 or 12 states that's already banned them, dude, for hunting.
Yeah. Most of them though, from what I understand, are out West. Like, I know Colorado, or well, might not be Colorado. I know Arizona, you can't have them.
Utah, Wyoming, yeah. Colorado can't be used. Cell cameras can't be used now.
Yeah.
You can have conventional, but you can't have cell cameras.
Cell cam. Yeah. So I think what we'll probably end up seeing is like the Western states will definitely either ban all cell cams or at least ban all of it, which I hope they don't. But just like we were talking about last night, you know, dude, the South is a totally different animal. You try to tell us what to do and we don't listen. Like, I know for a fact that before Georgia became fully legal to vape, people were still baiting. I know people are doing it in Michigan. They're doing it in Wisconsin. They're doing it everywhere.
Yep.
So like,
I agree. It's
one of those things that like some stuff I think is ridiculous. Like, I think it was Colorado. And it still may be this way. Colorado, for the longest time, wouldn't let you run lighted Nox. Tell me one reason why.
Wow.
Exactly. It doesn't. It makes no difference as far as making it easier to kill the animal. If anything, it helps because when you shoot the animal, you can see where it hit it.
Yeah.
And kind of guessing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think there's going to be a lot of pushback when they start really trying. Plus, you know, the cell camera industry is growing more and more every year. I'd be very surprised.
I mean, I'm not saying that I don't want it to end. I have cell cameras. Yeah. They're brand new in a box. It's terrible. It really is. I have six or seven conventional trail cameras.
Yeah.
They're all in a box. Need batteries and SD cards ready to go. And Moultrie cell cameras, brand new in a box. Got three of them.
So let me ask you this, because this is a topic I don't really cover much on here. The use of cell cams in one way, because I've been using cell cameras now for 5 years, I think, 6 years, something like that. And I love them for the fact that I can kind of see like what the inventory of the area is, right? I can see what to expect. But that also kind of hurts because if you go out there, let's say someone gets a new property, right? And they think it's a good spot. They're in a good county, but they put a cell cam up. Say they can bait, so they put food out. You know, they have a couple of deer come through. They have some scrub bucks, maybe a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, at best, maybe a 4-year-old, right? But that's not really what they're after. Knowing that, that person's probably not going to hunt that property because it doesn't have what they're looking for. On the other side, doing it the way you do it, where you're not relying on cell cams, you're not throwing a crap ton of cameras out and, you know, basically watching them until the time is right. You're going out there and you're finding sign and you're going based off of a sign.
Yep.
And you have no idea what's out there. There could be a world record typical, or there could be a spike that just has an attitude problem. Yep. So, I mean, would you, and this is kind of a philosophical thing that I want to ask you, but would you say that it's maybe more rewarding or more intimate when you don't use a cell cam because you're out there learning what
the deer are doing? Okay, yes. So I've studied tracks to the point that I can, and I'm just going to say within a year, can tell you if that buck is a 3.5 or 2.5 or 1.5, or if it's a fawn, doe, mature doe, so to speak. Like when you get them dew claws, and like there's a, I think it's right at 5 inches. When you get a buck track that's 5 inches with the dew claws and it's got 1.25 inches to 1.5 inches spread from on the tip of the toes or more, you're looking at a 4.5-year-old deer.
Okay.
90% of the time. Unless you got one hefty, you know, just fat buck.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're looking at a 4.5-year-old because a deer has to have that muscle mass, that body weight, to put that imprint in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're walking through the woods and you see, oh, there's a deer track, there's a deer trail. If you'll go left or right of that, and I'm talking about a highway now. If you'll go left or right 20 yards, you'll generally find that buck's trail, that mature buck's trail. And then you find his pinch points. Now, granted, I won't know what he is.
Yeah.
But it, I tell you this, I put eyes on him. And I'll be able to tell if he's a good one or not.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is like, I've heard a lot of people in the past, you know, say that, oh, my dad used to tell me he could look at a buck track and tell me it was a 190. And it's like, I mean, if you're in Illinois and you see a 5-year-old or 6-year-old track, yeah, you could guess, you know what I'm saying? But hearing stuff like that, the way you described it makes a lot more sense because obviously, you know, and we talked about last night too, how, you know, your style of hunting is a little bit different than everybody else's. Cause we have the typical deer hunter is usually out there to kill the biggest buck that they can. Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying something where you're like, well, you know, you can't eat the horns and I'm a meat hunter. And I'm like, yeah, true. But when someone says that to you, you just tell them that a bigger, more mature buck has more meat. So you're already knocking out two birds with one stone.
Yep.
So why don't you go a little bit in detail about your style of hunting? Like what matters most to you?
All right. So I'll use this last Saturday, was my last hunt for the year. We went to a couple spots and they were burning, right? And it's WMA. They're burning for turkey season, trying to get it out of the way. You know, it'll be good for turkeys come here in 2 months. I'm excited about it. That was where my hunting hole was at. So, you know, as well as I do, every deer in that square mile is gone. I ain't going to say gone, but they done moved on.
They ain't there right then.
No. Absolutely not. So I said, well, I know another draw. Let's go down in there. I've been wanting to go down there anyways. And so me and Joel, boots to the ground, take off. He went left, I went right. Got down in there, not the first look of sign. So thick, you can't see 5 feet in front of you. I mean, it was awful. Marked that off the spot, off the map. Won't be back in this one.
Yeah.
You know, and though you have to put boots on the ground to find those good spots. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you find a rub, right, I'll stop and take 2 minutes, maybe three, and try to find the next one. Well, you may not, right? Okay, well, this is just a random rub, so to speak. But I would be willing to bet, I'm not a bet man, but I'd be willing to bet $100 from that rub, there's another one within 100 yards, right? And then you find the next one, and it may be a little bit closer. Then you find the next one, then you find the next one. And then you got to get into an area that ain't 50 yards by 50 yards that's just absolutely mauled from one end to the other. And you're like, oh, I need to sit here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And generally, and this is, I love, down here we have these trees that grow up like fingers, right? They'll be mauled. I can tell generally how wide his horns are, his racks are, because them trees will be 14, 15 inches wide. So he's got to be able to hook at horns around it to get both sides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that tells you. Now, granted, obviously a spot might be easier for him to rape them, but he's not going to do the damage that a mature buck will do.
No, unless he's got a real attitude problem, but even
exactly.
Then.
So
I've never seen
and I say that. Has that. So that tells you his horns are outside his ears, right?
Because
you can look, I mean, and you know what I mean? You'll find a group of saplings that's 12, 13 inches wide where you know he has to hook his horns around that.
Yeah.
And so that tells you right there that he's outside the ears. So that's a mature deer. That's a 3.5-year-old deer. Right?
No. Let me ask you this. Okay. When you're looking at like rub lines and stuff, because I heard a guy one time on the Southern Outdoorsman podcast, he was talking about hunting rub lines and what he learned. And he was in Alabama. So this is right in your alley. He said that he was able to follow that. And that if you follow where the rub line is facing, that I'm trying to remember if he said that goes into buck bedding or if it's showing like basically where the buck is going.
Yes.
Okay. So that is
generally, all right. So you're walking and you see a rub and it's rubbed on the side you're facing, right?
Yeah. Like you can see the bark missing and all that other stuff. Yeah.
All right. But on the other side of the tree, it's gotten marks, but it ain't rubbed.
Yeah.
Then you find the next one, and it's facing the same direction. Generally, that buck come from behind you.
Okay. So you're walking the same trail he did.
Yes.
Got it.
And he's just leaving his scent. Now, I wouldn't say that as much as it is his bedding's behind you, mm-hmm. right? That's where you follow that rub line until you find where it's mauled, right? Okay. And then that's where his bedroom is.
Got it.
So
he's
going to mark it up in that area. And that's where his home's going to be. He wants his scent on as many trees as possible.
Yeah.
And okay. So he's just doing that big old loop, right? And letting the does that come through, they'll smell him. They'll find him. Same way as going to a scrape.
So you guys have an interesting state because your season goes from, what, October 1st to February 10th?
Yep.
Okay. So it's actually just about the same time frame as us, but we start a month early and end a month early.
Y'all start in September?
Yeah, we start the second weekend of September, and then we go to the second weekend of January.
Okay.
So I would say it's about the same time frame.
Yeah, I think it's 130 days is what we get.
What's season like for you guys? I mean, is it? You said something last night. You guys have three different ruts, which is
really five.
Insane.
It's really five.
It's crazy.
It's really five. So I know to get North Alabama the second week in November, give or take. And then from second week in November till February 10th, you can hunt a rut. That sounds crazy. It's roughly two and a half months long.
Yeah.
But you're traveling so I'm in Central Alabama. I can be in Tennessee in 2.5 hours, or I can be at the beach in 3.5. So you literally, you're hunting all over the state of Alabama.
Wow, dude. That's so wild.
And I tell myself anything within a 2-hour drive, man, I'm hunting all day. I'm not going to make a 2-hour drive just for a morning hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm a 2-hour drive, I've been hunting from sunup to sundown. So anything within 2 hours, you know, it's fair game.
You're hitting it. Yeah, that's absolutely. Crazy, man. That's absolutely. So crazy. Because our rut, I mean, literally, it's – I know South Georgia comes in a little bit. I think they actually come in sooner, if I'm not mistaken. I can't fully remember, but we seem to have the Midwestern rut. You know, like what I saw this past season, it was – the pre-rut started about third week of October. Really kicked into high gear the last week. I mean, I was having bucks show up that I had never seen before. And the biggest buck I had all year, that my daughter named, what did she name him? Optimus. Yeah. Optimus. Cause he was like just the Mac daddy on that property. Biggest deer I've ever seen on that property in 5 years of hunting it. But he daylighted on like October 18th or let me look. Cause it's just interesting that, like, I'm starting to see a pattern with these deer that, you know, late October, they just, something about them changes. And then the buck I killed behind me, the Spike, I killed him the first week, November 1st, actually. And he was responding to, you know, rut stuff, rut calls and like grunts and does and estrus and all that. October 28th. And I don't know if you're gonna be able to see him. We'll see if this one works this time, but, and
it's all white.
Yeah, stupid freaking camera. Anyway,
so I also something just dawned on me. You know, Alabama has a rut and then a post rut, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we went to South Alabama this year, January 4th through the 15th. Mm-hmm. Hit pre rut. The last 3 days was awful. They in the lockdown phase. Hardly seen anything. The first 4 days we were there, we were bow hunting, and then they had a 4-day gun hunt, and then they were bow hunting the last 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, 3 weeks later, I think it was February 8th, my buddy went back down there, and that 8-pointer he shot was chasing. And I was like, that don't sound too right.
Yeah.
I was like, because I know the rut was the first week of January, second week of January. It's, yeah, I agree with you. Me and our cameras, because he runs cameras like, I'm one extreme. He's the opposite extreme. if he's got 50 cameras down there, I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
And I know, right? But he keeps intel on bucks from year and a half to. Like the one he'd been chasing, he says is 8 years old, maybe 9. And I'm just like,
Believe it.
That's
because you guys are out in public, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I totally believe it.
They don't get big by being stupid.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing we talked about last night too. Is like the one thing about the South when it comes down to our deer, because you know I was on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast a couple weeks ago, and Dan asked me, he was like, "Man, so what would you say is the difference with hunting down there versus up here?" And I'm like, "Well, Dan, I've never hunted up there." I was like, "But I've seen enough deer and I've watched them enough times that I could probably tell you down here, dude. It's just the big ones are the hardest ones to kill because with how smart I've seen a 1.5-year-old buck act, knowing what a 7-year-old in Georgia is going to act like, you'll never see him. I guarantee you, you never see him."
So this proves your point too. Auburn, I think it was Auburn, did a study last year, and they just posted it a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 450 acres, high fenced. Remember this, high fenced to do a lot of data processing on whitetail deer.
Yeah.
They had a deer in there that they didn't know existed, right? And it was 4.5 years old and got one picture of him. Goes from 2023, nothing else, right? No pictures, nothing. And I'm talking about, he's telling me they're fed. They're got corn, soy, like the tip top best you can get, water holes.
Yep.
And 2025, he shows back up, one picture.
Dude, that deer mentality is what creates state records, world records. That's why we don't. I mean, I guarantee, like the what was it? The oh God, it's right there. I'm just the Alexander buck. Nobody knew about that deer except like one guy. And the whole story behind that, me and my buddy got into it this morning about it. I'm trying not to yell in this podcast because I feel like I've been pretty angry with how the world is right now. So I'm trying to tone it down a bit, but I will say that take the whole story out of that and just talk about the deer. Nobody knew about that deer and it was a 235 inch typical. That buck was smart. And the only reason he died is so because some piece of crap kid decided he wanted to try and be famous. So I know that's not nice to say. And again, I'm not getting into it, but my point is that was up in Ohio where,
yeah.
I mean, look, the general rule is big bucks are smart. Georgia big bucks, I call them geniuses. How Lee Ellis and them do it, I have the only way I can see being able to kill those deer consistently is because of the terrain setup that Atlanta has. Is they don't have big woods to run around. They don't have, you know, somewhere to dip off and hide because Lee's going to find them, right? I swear Lee has got to be part tracking dog because he is able to find these deer somehow that I have no clue. And it's like, our southern deer, I don't want to harp on it too much, but our southern deer are smart. They're just smart. Yep. And you give them a public land that's 20,000 acres, good luck.
You look at the property that right down the road from us, it's a WMA, it's 45,000 acres.
That's insane. That's like two counties.
Exactly. It's actually spread across four, right?
See, and that's my point.
And so I literally sit here and I've talked to the game warden out there and I asked him just point blank, "You think there's a 200-inch deer on this property?" He's absolutely, there's one. I've seen him with my own eyes.
Mm.
He said, "And I will tell you, there's at least 50, I meant to tell you this last night, 50 Pope and Youngs on this property."
See, the South is such a, I really hope this podcast doesn't ruin it, but I feel like the South is such a good, like, well-kept secret.
It is.
When it comes down to, because I mean, people know about, you know, Seek One. They know about Atlanta. They know about Birmingham. They know about all of that. BJ and those guys, love them to death, but the secret's out, you know?
Yep.
But I think the still well-kept secret is you can find giants on public out here. I mean, yep. I have one public land by me that it's only 2,000 acres. I think the biggest deer that's ever been taken from there was like 130s. But I know, because I know the area and I know the genetics, there's probably a 150, 160 on there every year. So
it's you can ask, like, I can get my wife on her if you want. We follow a bunch of pages for Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And every year there's a, Boone and Crockett. I'm going to say Boone and Crockett because I don't know the exact score, right? You look at the pitcher and you know he's got Coke cans at the base. He's got 25-inch main beams. He's got 12-inch G2s, 12 or 10-inch G3s. You know he's touching that 170 or more, at least 20 every year.
Crazy. That's so – I mean, why do you think people don't come to the South more? I mean, I don't want them to. I shouldn't say that, but I – look, my thing is –
if you want success, don't come to the – if you want success, don't come to the South.
Yeah, no, we have no deer down here. We chase ghosts. That's what we do. Really, it feels like that sometimes. But
it does. Oh, well, it's just like that buck I told you about, that year-and-a-half-old eight-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 80 inches. I bet you money he don't weigh 110 pounds.
So crazy, man.
And he's an eight-pointer already. He is going to be a stud.
So that makes me want to switch gears a little bit and talk about like the ethics that you and I both seem to agree with, because one thing we talked about last night was the fact that the big buck craze is really starting to get out of hand. And it's like, nobody really cares what you kill. Right. And you and I both are out there for the experience, which is what it should be. Right. And I think it stemmed from me saying that I thought Georgia needed to be a earn a buck or a one buck state or whatever.
Yep.
And while I do think that, it also comes from a place of like, you know, I don't want to say pride, because that's one thing I was thinking about today after we talked last night. I was talking to my buddy Brock about it. And like, the hunting community as a whole is a very prideful community, because I have seen guys, I know of an example where this dude posted something, got into it with another guy, and the guy thought it was a good idea to retaliate with a picture of all the big bucks on his wall as if that's going to prove a point and be like, oh, I'm a better hunter than you are, you fawn killer. And it's like, bro, who cares? Are you out there for the experience, or are you out there just to kill an animal? Because it's two completely different things.
So I'll put this out here. There's two types of hunters. I believe this is my personal opinion. There's killers and there's hunters. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a killer. That 10-pointer I shot this year, he might break 120 inches. Tickled to death with him. Got him shoulder mounted, right? Yeah. That 100-inch four-pointer I shot last year, 100-inch four-pointer. It's like 92 and 93 inches. It's massive, right?
That's huge.
I got him mounted too.
Yeah.
Tickled to death. The four-pointer weighed like 178. The 10-pointer, like 165 roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm in it for the meat. I mean, that's, you know, yes, they're trophies. Yes, they're mature deer. That four-pointer, the game warden aged him at 4.5. Wow. You know he's not going to be no bigger.
No.
You know what I mean?
Unless he's like a weird genetic deer that 8 years old, he'll just throw something gnarly. But even then,
his main beam was 23 inches on the right and 21 inches on the left.
Good Lord.
And 20 inches. I'll have to send a picture of 20 inches wide. I think it was right, 20 and a half wide. He had one little kicker off the one G2, and then he had one brow tine that was 7/8 long. So technically, you can't even count it.
Yeah. If you can't hang a ring on it, it doesn't count. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm just, who are, in my mind, if I wanted to shoot that spike like you shot, go for it. It's legal. Yep. You done it the right way. You bought your license. You put in the hard work. Get it. Who am I to question what you killed?
Yeah. And my response to that last night, I was thinking about it, and it's like, I'm a little bit conflicted and I'm kind of a hypocrite when it comes down to it, because speaking of Georgian, right? I mean, that's, you know, I my argument to it was that we need an incentive to kill more does. And we also, generally speaking out here, a lot of people just kill young bucks and then they complain we don't have big deer. And it's like, if that's what you're after, don't kill the young buck. Wait for the big guy.
I'll kill you in a heartbeat, buddy.
Not everybody will do that, though. That's the problem. So, like, if in Georgia we decided, hey, 2026-27 season, we're going to have two buck tags, but you only get one buck tag before you can get your other. And in order to get that second buck tag, you have to kill a doe or kill two does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Give some incentive to get these numbers down. Not that we absolutely need to, but if you look 3 years ago or 4 years ago, doe harvest numbers were up. Now they're way down. Is that because there's less hunters, or is that because more hunters are seeing seek one and, you know,
they jobs that come to Georgia? The world has gotten expensive. Remember that.
That's true. It's very true.
I mean, your average good bow right now is going to cost you $2,000, which is ridiculous. Yeah. That's a whole nother. I don't even want to go down that road. Like, they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
For charging that much?
Dude.
I'll say this. I do know that certain components cost a lot of money for them to get. However, if you're going to tell me that it costs $1,000 to make, I'm not going to say that. I just feel like charging $2,000 for a bow is too much. I mean, carbon bows now are so pricey, and like the benefits you get out of it, it's not even worth it, in my opinion. I've shot them. They're nice. They're not that light. There's aluminum bows that are much lighter, and they're much cheaper. They're $500 cheaper.
Some are $1,000 cheaper. I shoot a Bowtech Boss that's 10 years old.
And it still works.
I'm on my third set of strings with it.
And it still works. And I'm the biggest hypocrite, because I'm getting a new bow that I don't even need a new bow. But it's for a different reason. So I don't know, man. I look at that stuff, and like, I have seen prices go up. I know prices on broadheads are going up. I know arrows are going up. And it kind of leads me to kind of a faith discussion. You and I both are very open with that, which I love. But one thing that, and I'm not saying this about the companies, because the companies are not the ones, in my opinion, that are the greedy ones. They're just trying to make a product. Yeah, of course, they have to turn a profit. I understand that. And some companies are going to mark up the crap out of their stuff, you know? However, certain companies, when they get a particular material, it's the material people that are making it that are charging the astronomical prices. So if we're in order for, you know, say bow company X makes a carbon bow and the carbon manufacturer goes up in price, well, now that bow is going to go up in price, because
they're going to pass it on to us all day
long. Exactly. So I don't blame them. I get it, but it's just a greed thing. At the end of the day, it's greed, and whatever company.
What does the Bible say about greed?
Dude.
Money is root of all evil.
Exactly. You can't, and I'll throw this in there too. You can't worship money and worship God at the same time. It's not possible. Yeah. So that, all right. So that leads me into something I want to talk about, because dude, this podcast is flying, but I really didn't think it was going to go by this quickly. But what I want to switch the topic over to faith right now, because you and I were really digging into it last night, and I want to see, like, I want to capture that energy again.
Okay.
What does your faith mean to you? What is it? What has, I guess the best way I can frame it is the same way I framed it last night. What is the way you connect your faith with the outdoors? What is the importance of it to you? You can get as emotional as you want.
That is a, bro, I told you last night, you know, I've been homeless. It's been a long time. Let's see, 37, 21. So when I was 21, I was homeless for about 4 months. And that was my rock bottom, yeah. Right? That was like, I had quit hunting. I had quit fishing. I had quit God. The only thing I had not quit was my job, because I knew I needed to work. Mm-hmm. I was sleeping in my car in Birmingham and truck stops, using their showers, a shower. And it took me about 4 months to like really wrap around my brain, like, hey, you've got to grow up.
Yeah.
Like, God, why are you doing this? And ever since then, when I tell you that I have never went without, even when I was homeless, I didn't go without, right? Mm-hmm. Even when I didn't have nowhere to lay my head, God put friends in my fam or my coworkers, their wives found out about it, and would send food Extra food for me.
Yeah.
And like there was this older gentleman, I'll never forget him. Hot Rod was his name. His name was Roderick. I can't think of his last name, but everybody called him Hot Rod. And that Friday night we worked our shift and he was like, "Hey, meet me at my car before you go this evening and I got something for you." And I was like, "Okay." You know, we finished our shifts 11 o'clock at night. And I get over and say, "Hey, here's a crew where my wife packed you meals for the weekend. I know you're struggling right now, bro. I just want you to know God loves you. And, you know, and this is where this comes from. And there's nothing you can do about it."
Yep.
Right. And if it wasn't for moments like those, you know, cause yeah, I was homeless. Yes. I was sleeping in my car. Yes. I had a job. It's that kindness, that grace, that God's love that put that person in my life, who showed his love to me to remind me that, hey, dude, not this whole world. Yes, there's evil in it, but not everybody's evil.
Yep.
You know, not everybody is out to get you. And it's moments like that where, like, I got to keep going. You can't stop.
Yeah.
You can't. I have an old timer at work now that I look up to. I'm not going to name names. Thank the world of him. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be making the money that I'm making now, because he had put me on a standard and would not let me settle. Right? And I'm talking, I've taken some tail chewings now. I mean, because I messed up.
It's needed sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like when I've made my mistakes, I'll own up to my mistakes. And like, he's getting on to me, "Jesse, you need to quit working so much." "What?" "So you need to start taking the off days. Go spend time with your family. You know, you need to quit. You know, I asked for overtime." "No. You need to go spend time with your family."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Really?" And now I look back at it now. It's he's obviously in his late 50s, fixing to get ready to retire. And he's had the conversations with me before that he doesn't want me working my life away as he did, right? That I need to spend more time with my family. I need to spend more time in the woods, you know, doing what I love to do instead of going at that. So there's a fine line with it. I've lost everything once just because I was arrogant, thought I knew everything. And I was humbled really quick, God.
Yeah.
And then, and this is the one thing I'll never forget. If you don't love yourself, how can you love somebody else?
It's not possible.
Yep.
And a lot of people try to do that. And I think the big thing is people don't understand like what a relationship with Christ looks like. I think a lot of people think that it's, you know, because the general thought, and I had this conversation a few weeks ago, the general thought on like the faith is, you know, John 3:16,
yep.
Right? That's what everybody thinks that it is. And in a sense, yes, it is the simplistic version of God loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Okay. The problem is people hear that and they think, "Oh, I just have to believe. That's it. Okay. Well, guess what? The demons believe too."
Yeah, I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, they believe in him too. They know he's real.
I just told my daughter this the other day, and I was like, "Belief's not enough." I was like, "We're saved through by grace through faith, and you know, works without, or what is it? Faith without works is dead." And so then she was like, "Well, does that mean I have to work my way?" I'm like, No. What it means is that when you have the faith, when you trust Jesus, when you know that he's got you, regardless of what you're going through. And you have that peace, the works come with that, because now you understand, like you understand what it's like to know who God is. You want to do these things. It's not you do it to be saved. You can't earn your way. It's not possible. If it was, Jesus never would have came.
Yep.
So it's just crazy when people are like, you know, you just walk down the street and you ask somebody, "Hey, do you believe in God?" And they say, "Yeah." I was like, "All right, cool. What do you believe?" It's like, "Oh, I'm a Christian." "Really? Okay, well, elaborate on that." And they go, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," and that's all they say. And I'm just like, I really want to just lay it all out.
Well, like, I think I told you last night, today's society, their version of Christian is their soft down version of what they pick and choose.
Dude, yeah.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
I am a sinner saved by grace. I am not perfect. I never will be. If it wasn't for God, I would not be here today.
Yep.
No questions asked.
Yep.
The Christians today cannot wrap their brain around what it is to pick up that cross.
Yeah. Because we want it easy.
Yep.
We want an easy life. We want to be handed everything and go the easy route. And, you know, one thing that always gets me is that when somebody who, you know, claims, and I'm not, I don't want to sound like I'm being judgmental or any of that, because I'm not, right? I'm definitely not somebody who needs to be standing up on an altar and being like, this was what I say, and believe me, I'm not in that position, nor should I be. I'm a sinner too. I'm the worst of them. I say it all the time. But because of what Jesus did, even us as sinners, we can be called righteous because of the blood he shed. And it's like, I don't understand. I guess I can't wrap my head around why, if somebody hears those words and they believe it, why would you not want to try and get even closer to them? You know? And it goes into like the hunting side of things too, because being on the podcast, getting to know people in the industry, dude, I came into this thinking that every single person in the industry is going to be this God-fearing Christian, that I'm going to be able to have these conversations with people that, you know, just love him, right?
It's not, bud.
It's not at all. And I'm like, I'm sitting back and I'm just, I don't want to sound like I know everything, and I don't, but I know God, and I know that there's a lot of lost people, and like, it breaks my heart. And when you go and you speak truth to people and they get offended by it, a lot of the time,
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
If you're telling what's speaking coming out of the Bible and it offends them, that is not your problem. That's theirs.
I agree.
You did exactly what God wanted you to do. And I struggled with this for a long time. It's your job to plant that seed. Doesn't mean that you'll get to see it harvest.
That's true.
But it is your job.
Sometimes it never does.
To plant that seed.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's been really.
That's God's problem, not ours.
I know.
You know,
it's just back in my brain.
You did what you were supposed to do. You know what I mean?
I say it on this podcast every single week that if you don't know Jesus, just give him a chance. Yep. But what scares me about that,
What do you have to lose?
Exactly. Look, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
This is another thing. If I'm dead wrong and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I will die and go to heaven, right? And now I'm dead wrong and I die and turn out of nothing, I tell you what, I ain't lost nothing.
Yeah.
But if I'm right and I die and go to heaven,
you've been listening to Phil Robertson, haven't you?
I know he says that.
No, man, I'm joking. But yeah,
it gets me worked up, dude. Like, oh, me too. I'm wrong. Being wrong.
The one thing, I'm going to use current events, and I think I brought this up last night, is we all know what's been going on in the world, right? The Epstein files dropped. We get to see the evil that all these people are doing. And I was telling a buddy of mine.
I haven't even looked at it. My wife said
you don't want to. Don't do it.
I know it's bad.
I have, and it's the worst stuff I've ever read in my life. But this is the thing that people will say. The argument is, well, how come if God's real, why would he allow that to happen? Okay. Yeah. It's a tough pill to swallow, but there's good that always comes out of it. And this is part of the good that I think that people need to see, because there's two reactions to this that you can have. Number one, you can see all the stuff that they dropped. You can see all the bad things going on in the world, the wars, the homeless, the sickness, all of that stuff. And you can either say, man, it's a hopeless place. All this evil around is hopeless. And you just focus on that. Or you can say, and this is option number two, and this is the way that I look at it. You can see all this stuff and say, man, there's so much evil around. But if there's so much evil, there's got to be another side that is so much good and so much better than this. And that's the way I choose to look at it. And I know what that good side is. And it's like, I see this stuff, and there's literally people out in the world right now that are celebrities that are professing Jesus that I guarantee you it's all fake. And it's scary because it's like, are we seeing people get led astray? I guarantee we are. And I know it's the hunting podcast, but like, man, we've got to talk about this stuff.
What? Well,
God died on the cross for you, for me, for everybody in this world. There's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you this, even if I'm dead wrong, and when I die, I just go into the ground and that's the end of the conversation. I lived a better life believing in God.
Yep.
I can remember times I got laid off 15 years ago, 14 years ago. And I come home, tell my wife I don't have a job. And she barking, what are we going to do? Why about? And I'm sitting there with a calm. I'll never forget it. I was standing on the back porch. What are we going to do? And I told her, it's going to be okay. How do you know this? And the thought that went through my mind is like, God, I ain't let me down yet. Why is it going to start?
Yeah.
You know what
you should have thrown at her? You know what you should have said? You should have been like, hey, don't you know Jesus's words? If God takes care of the birds of the sky and provides for them, how much more worth do you have to God than the birds? Yep. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own problems.
Yep.
Worry about today. And yep. Yeah, dude, I mean, so let me ask you this, and we can maybe wrap it up on this, because this episode is way more faith-based than the last one was, which I'm fine with. But I want to ask you, like, for the people who maybe are listening to this and they're thinking about, you know, getting to know who Jesus is, or at least opening up the Bible, once you gave, because I experienced this, once you gave your life to him and you really started trying to live for him, was it all sunshine and rainbows, or was it just?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you this. All right. So this is my favorite part of the Bible, hands down. It's Peter. It's like awesome, like kick butt awesome. It shows God's love. Like, I'm getting excited, if you can't tell.
Oh, I can tell.
So Peter's in the boat. Storm, rain, waves, lightning, boat sinking. Peter says, or getting thrashed around. Peter says, is that I, or is that you, Jesus? Jesus says, it is me. And Jesus says, Peter, come to me. Peter gets out of the boat, stands on water. Okay. He's standing on water. Remember that. One person only done that is Jesus at this point in time. All right.
Yep.
Jesus, or Peter, is standing on the water. He starts walking to Jesus on water. Man walking on water. You know what's so amazing about that? The moment he lost focus on Jesus, guess what happened? He starts sinking, and Peter starts crying out to Jesus. And you know what Jesus does? He grabs his hand and pulls him out of the water, back up on top. And you know what he does? He doesn't stop the storm. He doesn't stop the rain. He doesn't stop the waves. He walks with him right side by side through that storm, back into that boat, and then stops that storm.
Yep.
And that's Jesus' love for you and anybody out there.
Dude, we got to end it on that. I can't think of a better way to end the podcast. That's true, though. It is. And that was one thing I had to learn the hard way. Because, I'll tell you right now, you know, I gave my life officially, I guess you could say. Like, I got baptized and everything back in 2024, I think. It was 24 or 23. It was on Easter. The church that we went to, they were having baptisms on Easter, and I signed up, and I told, you know, I talked to the pastor and all this other stuff, and I told him about my past and everything. And dude, I went into it thinking, oh man, I'm going to do this, and all the things that I was doing and everything is just going to get so much better. Got baptized, back up. Well, hold on a second. So it was a mix of things. So I got baptized, came back up. I felt light as air, dude. Everything that was weighing me down was gone. The next day, I fell again. That year, I had 7 flat tires on my work van. I got stuck on back roads. I dropped my van fixing a tire in my driveway. I dropped the van. The jack gave out and it fell. I had to call my boss to come help me. And what that taught me was that even though I now have a life with Christ, that doesn't mean that everything's going to get better. Mm-hmm. But what it does mean is when it gets bad, you don't have to look around and say, I'm all alone in this. because he's right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, regardless of how bad it is, he's going to get you through it.
Yep.
That's faith. That's growing your faith. So I wanted to hear your perspective on it, and it was perfect. It was great. So before we wrap this up, tell everybody where they can find you. And I guarantee you the next time you get on here, we will talk more about hunting and it'll be longer. We'll be able to do it a little longer. But yeah, tell everybody where they can find you.
Instagram, obviously, TikTok, Facebook, Jesse Fortner. Like I said, I ain't nobody special. I have a passion for the outdoors, a passion for the Lord. And I've been pushed here lately to do what we just did. And apparently I need to.
I think you did great. I think so. I enjoyed it.
It's God's world, God's creation. Man, think about this right here, man. God created this world in 6 days, the universe. Mm-hmm. You know how amazing that is? Like,
I got to tell you something when we get off of here. It might be a little bit of a long story, but something happened a week ago that was mind blowing. But continue with your point. Sorry, I needed to tell you that before.
Boots on the ground. It's the only way you're going to get it done. Think smart. I think Fred Bear said, shut up. Be still. Your forefathers wore red flannel and blue jeans.
Yep.
And if you bump in deer, you're going too fast. Slow down.
Okay.
That's a fact right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been told that. I haven't listened to it too much, so I probably should start.
That's a hard one. That's a hard one.
It is. Especially when like I have good balance until I don't. And I start walking slow and then I start wobbling and hitting branches. I'm like, man, this ain't working. So I just get to the tree. But yeah, dude. No, I wanted to thank you for coming on and you know, the second half of the episode definitely I hope reaches a lot of people and helps people understand. And it's not, you know, the general consensus, unfortunately, with Christians as a whole is that we're judgmental assholes. And I can tell you that's not the case. People take it that way because the whole world hates us.
Yep.
You know, remember they hated him first.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I don't know. I really feel like, you know, the second half of this podcast for sure is a great way to describe, like, it's not like that. It's God will literally pull you out of everything that you need him to pull you out of. And he'll put you in those storms too.
Yep.
You will
touch now,
you.
Now be careful what you pray for.
Oh yeah.
You pray Believe for patience me. Or you pray for, I'm telling you right
pray
now.
For patience, pray for strength, man. He'll put you through it to learn that. I'm the living example of that. So
absolutely.
But man, thank you for coming on. I'm really looking forward to the next time we do this.
Absolutely.
And we won't have any technical issues, hopefully, on the next one, hopefully on this one, too. If that happens, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, the devil definitely don't want this to come out.
What we're going to do? I'm going to drive 4 hours.
I was about to say, you just come up here, I'll set something up, and we'll do it, and then we'll make it happen. But seriously, man, thank you for coming on, and I guess till next time.
Actually, one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
God loves you, and so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax. Let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me. Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances. Check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those New Year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO scoring model. Offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.